Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. On the show today, we play some music about soldiers. We also explore the history of the word okay. But first, we tell you about the new leader of the Boy Scouts of America. Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates recently agreed to take on a new leadership position. He will still head up hundreds of thousands of troops, but these young men do not go to war. They seek fun, friendship, and service as members of the Boy Scouts in the United States. Jim Tedder has more.
Robert Gates has served under 8 American presidents. He has led the Central Intelligence Agency and the country's military. Now, he has volunteered to hold the office of President of the Boy Scouts of America. He is expected to start next May. Robert Gates was a member of the Boy Scouts as a child. He recently said, "There is no finer program for preparing American boys for citizenship and leadership." But Mr. Gates will not find a problem-free organization. The Boy Scouts has faced several legal actions in recent years. One group sued the organization for reportedly letting suspected sex abusers work with and abuse boys in the 1970s and 80s. Andrew Chasen represents the accusers.
We know that in Idaho alone, there were 15 different pedophiles based on these documents.
There was also a recent embarrassment for the organization in Utah. Two adult troop leaders purposely pushed down an ancient rock formation in Goblin Valley State Park. They video recorded the act and placed it on Facebook. The local Boy Scout Council has removed the men as leaders. They also face possible criminal charges. But one Boy Scout issue is larger than all the rest. Last May, the Boy Scouts of America announced it would permit gay boys to openly join the organization. Wayne Perry is the current Boy Scouts president.
It's a very difficult decision for a lot of people, but we're moving forward.
Not everyone agrees. Thousands of people joined in opposition to the decision. Some even broke ties with the Boy Scouts, returning honors they had earned years earlier as members. The issue is not entirely new to Mr. Gates, however. He was Secretary of Defense as the United States military ended its ban on open homosexuality in the services.
You're supposed to go on treating everybody like you're supposed to be treating everybody now, with dignity, respect, and discipline.
Now, Robert Gates will share that message, and many others, with more than 2.5 million Boy Scouts.
Next, we turn to the story of an American word that began in Boston, Massachusetts, and spread around the world. Okay started as a joke in 1839, and no, we're not joking about that. Well, a few years ago, VOA's Avi Arditi and Roseanne Scurbel talked with Alan Metcalf. He wrote the book, Okay, The Improbable Story of America's Greatest Word. And he says, not just the greatest word.
America's most important word. The most successful American export to the rest of the world, and also an embodiment of the American philosophy, the American way of thinking.
All this packed into 2 letters.
Yes, that's the beauty of it, and that's the economy of it. one of the two aspects of the American view of the world is pragmatism, getting things done. Even if they're not perfect, they're okay. And the nice thing about okay is it doesn't imply that everything is perfect or beautiful or wonderful. In fact, it's a neutral affirmation. When you say, that's okay, or someone asks you, how are you, and you say, I'm okay, it doesn't mean that you're in perfect health, but it also doesn't mean that you're sick.
Okay are just two letters of the alphabet. Do they stand for something?
Well, they do, as a matter of fact. One of the curious things about okay that makes it require a whole book to tell its story is that it began as a joke. It was on March 23rd, 1839, in a Boston newspaper that the newspaper first used O period K period and explained those as an abbreviation for all correct. And of course, the joke was that O is not the beginning of all, and K is not the beginning of correct. So this thing, supposedly all correct, was not all correct.
At that time, Boston newspapers were publishing all sorts of abbreviations that were meant to be funny. Most of these disappeared.
But it turns out that in the next year, 1840, in the American presidential election of 1840, a man named Martin Van Buren was running for re-election. He happened to come from Kinderhook, New York. And so somebody thought of calling him Old Kinderhook, and then thought of founding clubs supporting him throughout the country called OK Clubs. OK, Old Kinderhook, is OK, all correct or all right. And that suddenly gave continued life and prominence to OK.
And then a third thing happened.
During that presidential election year, Martin Van Buren's predecessor as president had been Andrew Jackson. And so there was an attack on Andrew Jackson by an opponent of Van Buren. The attack said that Jackson couldn't spell, so that Jackson would look at a document, and if he approved of it, he would write OK on it, meaning it was all correct. Now, it turns out that it was a complete hoax.
Andrew Jackson never wrote OK on a document, Alan Metcalf says. But as a result of that story, within about 20 years, people really began marking OK on documents. People have been doing that ever since. But Alan Metcalf says the idea that OK began as a joke kept people trying to guess where it really came from.
The OK as Andrew Jackson's hoax was the first misleading statement of its origins. And then around the 1880s, a professor decided that the true origin was from the Choctaw Indian language, where they had an expression like OK, which means it is so. And for various reasons, that was proposed as the true explanation for OK. They spelled it O-K-E-H. And the only American president ever to have a Ph.D., Woodrow Wilson, thought that was the correct explanation. So he would mark O-K-E-H on documents.
How does OK in our vocabulary represent who we are as Americans?
One way that it represents who we are is that it represents the pragmatic sense of getting it done, maybe not getting it done perfectly, but it's okay. But the other way began with a book published in 1967 by a guy named Thomas Harris. The book is called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And the book happens to be about a kind of psychology known as transactional analysis. I'm okay, that means I can do what I want. You're okay, you can do what you want. Maybe we aren't doing the same thing, but that's okay.
Alan Metcalf is an English professor at McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois, and longtime executive secretary of the American Dialect Society. Monday is Veterans Day in the United States. The day honors American women and men who serve in the American military. There are many songs that celebrate these people as well. Kelly Jean Kelly is going to tell us about some of them.
Johnny Cash wrote and recorded several songs about soldiers, war, and duty to country. He first released Song of the Patriot in 1981. He sings, "I am a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man.
I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. I love mom and apple pie and the freedoms that we all enjoy across this beautiful land. I worked hard and I'd fight hard for the old red, white, and blue. And I'll die a whole lot harder if it comes to where I have to. I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man."
Rhythm and blues singer R. Kelly released A Soldier's Heart in 2003. It is a song of praise and thanks for the sacrifice service members make.
All hope was gone, hard to hang on, hard to be strong. Was blind, could not see, nothing but war in front of me, and inside, no peace. And the mountain seemed impossible to climb until you stood on the front line. You led the way out of the darkness. We didn't go astray. You were ready to die for our sake. And that takes a soldier's heart.
We leave you with the Dixie Chicks. The band performs Travelin' Soldier, a song written and first recorded by country musician Bruce Robinson. It tells the story of a lonely American soldier who has a relationship with a high school girl through letters. He dies at war.
2 days past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green, sat down in a booth. Cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, "Would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low." She said, "I'm off in an hour and I know where we can go." So they went down and on the pier. He said, "I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you?
June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Join us again next week for music and more on American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
Loving all of the things he was so scared of. Except when it's getting kind of revolting.